Good evening. Oh, good morning. It's evening later. That song was written in the mid-1800s. It's a new piece of music. The words and the music were written in the 1800s by a lady that was playing a piano at a service, and the music man came and asked her, because of the thoughts of the sermon titles during that week were such that they seemed to speak to the thought of God taking care of us and walking with us and watching over us. And he said, could you write something about God's care for us? And she went home and wrote that song. All four verses. Not until about 2 years ago was it used frequently, but it was found by the music director of Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., Mark Devers Church. And he read the words and was moved by the words and sat down and wrote a new musical back piece to it, and that is what we are singing today. And if you heard them sing, you were hearing Capitol Hills Baptist Church sing on that tape. And they always sing all of the music they have in that church. They only have two pianos, and all of the music that they sing in that church, every last verse they sing a cappella. And there's 1,000 people that are singing this verse a cappella. It's a tremendous thing. So we have that song available to us. We should sing that often. That is such a powerful song. It says tells us so much about what God's done for us. 2 Corinthians. Did you get changed when you got saved? Yes. What effect did the gospel actually have? You know, those that look at Christianity say we're odd fellows, we're strange beings, we're the lunatic fringe. We get lots of things. They don't understand the change. You look the same, you work the same, you go to the same places, you drive the same car. What changed? Well, they weren't externals, but internals. God made a difference in our life. He affected our life. And this effect of the gospel on the individual is what I want to speak to you about this morning. Our text is a very familiar text, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter, but the word man is used to cover that total group. If any man be in Christ. You know, that's what happened the moment you came to Christ. You were placed in Christ. Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ changed you. Something happened. Marvelously happened. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. And then the next verse says, and all things are of God. We have had an impact on our life. The moment you came to Christ, so revolutionary was this change that for the first time in your life, you can identify with your Heavenly Father in a real, honest relationship. Now, that's incredible. Amen. That's just incredible. And so this morning, I want to look at this subject from just four basic thoughts. Number one, it changed us, this effect. Number two, it commits us, causes a commitment. Number two. Number three, it convicts us. And number four, it completes us, all God's people said. Now that's incredible stuff. There's a little song we used to sing, "The things I used to do, don't do them anymore." How many ever heard that little song? "It's been a great change since I've been born again." Well, that's true. And so let's look at this morning as we walk through this passage. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Number one, this effect of the gospel on our lives changes us. And there's several statements I want to make here, but hopefully we'll get through them. Number one, it changes, think with me now, it changes our devotion. What we are devoted to, what we have a desire for, what we have as the impulse behind all that we do, what drives us, the motivation. It changes us devotionally. Listen, the life that I had was changed to the life I now have. And they're different lives. The life that I had is changed into the life that I now have, and they're different lives. And I'm not talking about, and I think this is where some churches got off mark. They thought that meant what I look like, some of the things that I prefer, some of the places I choose to go. It had nothing to do with that. What it had to do with was the change here inside that brought about in you a change of lifestyle. It just happened. Didn't happen over 2 seconds or 3 seconds. It happened over time. And it changes our devotion. So what we used to be, we aren't now, and we are what we are today because of Christ. It is an entire reversal in the whole tenor of life. Let me say that again. It's an entire reversal in the whole tenor of life. Where I used to go, what I used to do, what I used to love, my philosophic bent, my belief system, all those things changed the moment I became a Christian. Christ in me, all God's people said. So it's an entire reversal in the whole tenor of life. In fact, our course of life is changed completely. Take some time to go back to when you were first saved. And now, before you were saved, what did you want? What was your direction? Where were you going? What was your course of life? Where would you have ended up if you would have followed that same course prior to meeting Christ? Then once you meet Christ, that course of life is completely changed, on a new level, completely. So it changes us in our devotion. Number two, it changes us, and this is the key to it, it changes us supernaturally. It's a supernatural change. That's why it says, if any man be in Christ. It's not a philosophy. It's not a scientific challenge. It's not a religious theory or endeavor. It's not religion at all. You know, we have, in the U.S., they must be religious people that go to church. It has nothing to do with religion. Religion is you trying to identify in some way with the God of heaven or trying to better yourself. But true Christianity is a supernatural relationship, all God's people said. So we have a relationship with Christ. It is true religion to follow Christ. And so it changes our devotion. It changes us supernaturally. Number three, it changes us in likeness. You ever thought about that? Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are changed into His image by the Spirit of the Lord. Think of that. You're like Christ. It's not wrong to say that. We're in Christ, we're like Christ. We're changed into His image. Folks should be able to now that you're saved. If they see you, they see Jesus. When you respond like Him. When you help like Him. When you compassionate, you show compassion like Him. We are changed into His image. I just love that thought. It's a likeness change. Then, fourthly, it's a permanent change, all God's people said. Changes us permanently. Have you ever, New Year's Day, your New Year commitment, how many ever made one of those? You've decided to, and you kept it for 13 hours. You didn't. I gave up Diet Coke. Well, probably 6 or 7 years ago I did this. I decided to give up Diet Coke. My wife gave up M&Ms, chocolate peanut M&Ms. She did it for a whole year. I gave up Diet Coke. That Friday was our date day. So we got in the car, drove, and I said, hey, can we stop by McDonald's? I bought a Diet Coke. I mean, it was like 3 days. My commitment was really bad. Well, we don't have the ability to change permanently in those things. But with Christ in our life, we are, has nothing to do with your ability, we are changed permanently. You're completely brand new, all God's people said. Amen. Man, whoop-de-doo, that's tremendous. We are completely brand new. Permanent change. This effect of the gospel on our life changes us permanently. It's a new desire to follow. The life I now have compared to the life I once had. Then I think it changes us in our longing. Write this down. How many have heard about a bucket list? A bucket list. I don't have any crazy things about a bucket list. I don't want to jump out of an airplane. I like them when they're on the ground or in the sky flying by someone else. And when I land, I'm glad I made it. But A bucket list is something you long for, you'd like to do, you'd like to see happen. And most people never complete their bucket list. They never get through it. Well, you don't have to have a bucket list with Christ. Listen to this. Your longing changes from things for me to a desire. Listen to this. Our longing changes from things for me to a desire for Him. And that desire grows and grows and grows. And pretty soon, God says, she's no earthly good. I better bring her home. Amen? He's fulfilled His responsibility. I'm going to bring Him home. And when that happens, our longing is complete. It's an incredible thing. If any man be in Christ, he is, positively, is a new creation. So number one, this effect changes us. Number two, this effect commits us. It carries us in a different direction. It moves us to new things or to understand and see things in a way we'd not seen them before. Let me just give you five ways that it changes our commitment. Number one, it changes our commitment to defend the faith, all God's people said. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith. That word earnest means stand up for it. Stand up with it. Stand up in its defense. That's what that means. We're to defend the faith. Now, it doesn't mean we yell people down or scold people down. It doesn't mean that we do make some kind of move towards them and cause them pain or anguish. It's like we won the war. That's not what it means. It means to defend the faith. When we have a faith that we believe in and men trample on our faith, our belief system, we should stand up and tell them this is why we believe what we believe. This is the direction we go because of Christ. We defend the faith. It commits us, number two, to share our faith. All God's people. I was just telling someone this morning. Every Sunday now, we go to one restaurant and eat the same thing. That may sound crazy to you, but that's my commitment. But we have three different waitresses that have been waiting on us now for about 8 or 9 months. We've got to know them very well. And we've told them all who we are, what we do. They know about our surgery. They know about our praying for ourselves and for others. And we've prayed for each of them about instances in their lives right at our table. And we've opened the door for a witness to these three young ladies. It's neat to watch. I think that she had bad upbringing. I just think she just didn't understand what love was like, what Christ could do. And we've told her on several occasions, we love you and have a wonderful day. And she came to our table and said, it's good to see you. It's so good to see you. She grabbed my wife's hand and started crying, just bawling. And we said, are you all right? She said, could you pray for me? I said, oh, we'll pray for you. So we prayed with her. I believe these three ladies are going to get saved. I believe that. Well, I would never have done that before I was saved. I would never have talked to them about anything having to do with some kind of what I would think would be philosophical difficulty. I wouldn't have brought that up. It is what it is. I would have said, you deal with your stuff, I'll deal with mine. But here, her life became important to us because my life was important to Christ. It defends the faith. It commits us to share the faith. It commits us to follow Christ wherever he leads, whatever that may be, wherever he may go. We will go with him. I'll follow him. What did Jesus say to the disciples? The first statement he said to them when they were together, he said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. These guys were fishermen, the best in the world. He said, you're not going to catch fish anymore, you're going to catch men. You're going to tell them about me. You're going to share with them your faith. You're going to defend our doctrinal position. You are going to be a follower of Christ. It commits us to follow Christ, commits us to grow in Christ, all God's people said. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all God's people said. And it commits us to trust Christ. So number one, it changes us. Number two, it commits us. Number three, it convicts us. And by the way, before you were saved, there wasn't much spirit. There was no Spirit of God conviction. You were just dealing with your conscience, different. But how many of us did something wrong, felt badly about it before we were saved, and then forgot about it 2 days later? But when the Holy Spirit begins to convict you, he gets a hold of your heart. Man, he squeezes that thing pretty tight. Not to make you hurt, but to bring you back to a right position with Christ. Always for your good. It convicts us. Number one, it convicts us of sinfulness at salvation. When you came to Christ, what did you finally recognize yourself as? A sinner. Christ began to touch your heartstring and tug on your heart, and you came to the position where you realized that your sin was not so much against humanity. Your sin was against God. And you sinned against Christ. You've broken his law. You've lived a selfish, self-centered life. Sin. And at salvation, the convicting power of God came into your life and caused you to desire something more. Something better. Something different. And you were changed. You were changed by conviction to take Christ as your Savior and follow him. So it convicts us of sin at salvation. It convicts us of sin after salvation, all God's people said. How many thought when you got saved, man, no more problems? You know, I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to lie anymore, I'm not going to cheat anymore, I'm not going to be tempted to go anywhere anymore, da 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 da. I can tell you, not a week after I was saved, everything I just said, I did. Then I felt so bad about it, so terrible about it. I started saying to myself, why would that bother me? Why does that so traumatic to me? Why am I so bugged by that? Well, it's called the Spirit of God, who convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And he convicts of sin at salvation, convicts of sin in salvation, and he convicts of, and I love this, of selfishness after salvation. The last thing a Christian should be is selfish. the most loving, the most giving, the most compassionate, the most caring people in the universe ought to be believers. And they shouldn't look at your face, the color of your skin, the position you hold, the preferences you may be practicing at this time. They don't judge you by that. They love you to the point where you will come to Christ, and Christ shall make you free. We've had such a judgmental attitude in the church. We get to get rid of that. Throw that out the window. We don't judge people to Christ. We love them to Christ. So number one, it changes us. Number two, it commits us. Number three, it convicts us. Here's the last thing. It completes us. All God's people said. It completes us, number one, in our course of life from here to there. Do you remember when Moses had died? And there at the Jordan River, he was talking to Joshua. Joshua was very concerned. This incredible leader had passed away. God spoke to him personally. He had an incredible relationship with God. He was looking at himself, comparing himself to Moses. Joshua said, "How on earth are we going to go into this promised land?" And God said basically this: the same way I got you from there to here, from Egypt to the brink of the promised land, I'm going to take you from here to there, all God's people said. No marvel. God said, "What are you talking about? How on earth do you get out of Egypt and come here? Who did that? How did that happen? It wasn't Moses. It was me. You want to know how you're going to get into the promised land to go on for me? Get from here to there? Me. It's all about me." And boy, he recognized that right away, and he said, "You know what? The course of my life will be changed not because I tried harder, but because Christ made a difference in my life." In our course of life, Romans 5:2 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You don't follow the preacher. You follow God. We don't follow Southern Baptist Convention. We follow God. We don't follow a religious organization. We follow God. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your course of life from here to there will be different. It will be complete. Then it completes our standing with God, all God's people said. When we stand, before thy throne, dressed in beauty not our own, that will happen to us someday. God will come in and move us from here to there. And we've been standing here. We will be standing there. We have worshiped here. we will be worshiping there for all eternity because of the effect God's salvation has had on your life. All God's people said. Lord, help us to love you and serve you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.